This is The Agenda from News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern affecting you are open for discussion. And now your host, Michael Knight.
Good afternoon. It's kind of wet out there. But you're tough. You'll get through it. Plus, I'm here in a warm studio to help you, right? At 12:15, I would ask you to consider this. What is a library? Well, you could say books. And now you have to ask, so, what's in the books? And the answer should be everything. It should be nearly everything, at least. Everything that was and everything that currently is. And they call those rows of bookshelves the stacks. So if you're looking for a slice of everything, try the stacks. It should be there. You only need to look or search or dig deeply in the available knowledge that's been gathered in Wenatchee's downtown main library. Now, if you spoke Latin or Greek, you'd know that the word biblioteca derives the main library in many languages, including French, where they say bibliotheque, teque, bibliotheque, whatever. It's a library. Now, let's go back in time to the 5th and 6th centuries, when the very close of the classical period, where all the great libraries of the Mediterranean world were in Constantinople and Alexandria, but not for long. Wasn't to last. The Imperial Library of Constantinople was the last major ancient library of the ancient world. And after the destruction of the library in Alexandria, it was the last place for all the ancient and Greek Roman texts of 1,000 years. But it was to meet the same fate as the great Egyptian library at Alexandria. The Constantinople Library continued in substantial form until 1453, when it was utterly, completely, and totally destroyed. And there's not even a list of what we lost, erasing forever that line of history to our ancient world. Gone forever, and perhaps forgotten. That's the fate of knowledge when a library is no more. So what about our own library, nestled in its circular drive there by Memorial Park? How long will it house the ancient history of the valley? How much our forgotten local history is stored carefully in that library, waiting to be rediscovered by the curious? And are you curious enough to find out for yourself? So we'll venture into library land now for this show and see who stands between history and understanding in our town of Wenatchee. One of the helpers is Jeff Nair, who's our very special guest today. And also thanks to Courtney Tiffany, who's here as well, representing the library. Welcome you both to the radio station today. Did I overstate it, Jeffrey?
You know, I tune in sometimes just to listen to your introduction.
And then you're gone. What was that sound? Oh, that's Jeff. He always tunes out about 10 minutes after I start.
Ever so often I get real eager. I want to call in and then I go, oh, but I'm in the car, and I got to pull over. And then,
we'll take your call. I take calls now and then.
Usually it's because I have some really strong opinion about something that I probably shouldn't tell everybody on the air.
Imagine that. Yeah, I always think about that one. Although there are a number of radio announcers giving their strong opinions and doing very well these days.
That's all true.
Yeah.
It's all true.
I don't know if they're helping, but they're personally doing well.
That's great.
So you've been working on this library idea for some time.
We have been. And, you know, we're getting now into the final stages of our capital campaign. In fact, Courtney and I are here. Courtney is she runs the Wenatchee Public Library. That's her job. And all the staff that she has there. And she's been existing in a facility that was built in the 1950s and that hasn't really been changed ever since. It's in this exactly same state. Then there's a few little changes. You know, they added a little carpeting and they changed a few things from now on.
So is your library an Edsel or a DeSoto?
I have no idea.
Jeff can answer that question.
It's probably a pretty well-run Edsel, but but you know, I mean, there's just a lot of things that are missing, and as we keep updating the library and the library changes part of what's important about it. Something I'm passionate about is trying to keep it relevant, and so the library actually did a survey, tried to find out if they were to repurpose some things in the library, what would they do, what would it look like, and from that we decided that we would see if we could make it happen, and we've raised about $427,000 or something like that. Almost 1.5 million.
Wow.
This Friday, we're going to have Take Us Over the Top at the Pybus. And we're hoping that people can come down and enjoy the Pybus. All of the vendors are donating. Courtney, why don't you tell us a little bit about some other things that are happening there on Friday?
Yeah, so PIVUS, the library will be a presence all day on Friday the 30th. So we will have the bookmobile make an appearance. We're going to have some story times sprinkled throughout the day. There's no school that day, so I think it's a perfect time to bring the kids down and have lunch. And we're going to have some STEM programming with robotics, so that's always really fun. And then also just information about what the library is doing, the programs that we have coming up in the next couple of months, and for all ages. So it's going to be a really fun day. Just shopping and eating at PIVUS can help.
Shopping and eating. Yes. You raise an interesting subject.
And the Friends of the Public Library are doing a book sale and other things related to libraries and books. And it's just going to be a great great day to spend at PIVUS. A wonderful asset we have here in Wenatchee now. And we've got such great support from all the vendors there helping our campaign.
Let's explain why a library is something separate from what you can find on the Internet. Why is the library still so important?
Well, librarians are, I guess, fact checkers. You know, if you have a question, we can usually find the answer for you, and we will give you the source that it came from. And I think that's really valuable. The Internet does not do that. Google does not do that. And, you know, there's something about holding, you know, a physical book in your hand and reading something in black and white. It has more impact, I think. And we offer all sorts of different resources on our website that are above and beyond Google and YouTube. We have lynda.com that are really high quality videos that can teach you some technical skills that a lot of adults now don't have access to. And I think that's really important. There are so many different ways that we provide information and provide access to.
So the library still has its own corner of exclusivity.
Yeah. I mean, Consumer Reports is free. There's so many things we can give to you that you're already paying for in your taxes. And so why not take full advantage?
One thing I've noticed is so many people park there in the circular drive around there. Those spots are always taken. Uh-huh. And I have to assume that those are people at the library.
Yeah, usually.
Yeah. That can be a tough parking spot, but that's always one of the best spots in town is to park in the circular drive.
Mm-hmm. And it's such a pretty spot, you know?
Yeah. And how long has it been there? Was it built 58, 59?
Built 59. Yeah, we opened the doors in 59.
And now you don't even have plugs for downstairs. I don't know what they were thinking in 1959.
Jeff always jokes that you can count on one hand how many outlets we have on the main floor, and he's really not that wrong. I mean, and they're in very funny spots, like in the center pillar
but not,
of
not
the
funny,
rail.
Not funny, ha-ha, right?
I believe they were designed around how far you could stretch an extension cord to run a vacuum cleaner.
There you go. Could very
because
well
that
be.
That was the only purpose of a plug-in. Back in 1959.
Hey, airports are the same way. You think that everyone would be charging their phone, but no, airports make it very difficult for you.
There's more and more improvements to airports to get improving the amount of plug-ins, and we want to make that happen in the library. And there's so many things that we can do by having that power there. We can put end caps. We can have iPads, something that's user-friendly, easy to use. I remember when I was a kid, and I'm sure that maybe you might remember this, too. We went to the library.
I do remember when you were a kid, yes.
you go to the library, and there was a card catalog, and you had to flip through. And it was difficult to use, and it took a while just to get used to trying to figure out where the book was. Now you can go to it. You'll be able to go to an end cap, and you'll be able to pick out your favorite author, and you'll be able to find out exactly which books are there and books that are like it, not just... you can figure out so many ways to be able to find something you might enjoy to read. So it's pretty powerful. And then you might be able to say, hey, you know what? I can get that in an audio book, or I can get it in a paper book, or an e-book, or a big print book. I mean, I can find a lot of different ways, depending on how I like to enjoy the library.
Tell me about your passion with the printed word. Where did this come from, Jeffrey, or do you even know?
Well, I've just always enjoyed reading. I've instilled that in all my kids. One of my daughters is a librarian.
Really?
She works with Courtney. She did work in the Wenatchee Main Library for a little while. Now she works in the administrative offices. But it was we've just always had this love of reading. And my wife reads, and we actually have time where we just are sitting there and we're just reading. We may have a bunch of people from the family come over, and everybody's got a book out, and we're all reading. You know, it's interesting. Years ago, Amazon and a few others decided that maybe they might get they had a theme about saving the rainforest, about getting rid of printed books. because everything was going to go to e-books. And everyone thought, oh, you know, this is the end of libraries, this is the end of printed books, etc. And it was so wrong, because people love that experience of reading books, and actually all those books on digital format have improved the amount of books people read, because now they want to grab that paper, that book that's still in print, and be able to feel the feel of the book and the weight in your hand, and all of those things that are kind of the visceral feeling of reading.
And instead of cutting down the forest to make books, they cut down the forest to make rare metals so you could have a Kindle.
There we go.
Rats.
They might have done that, yeah. They might have done that, yeah.
So, I got a Kindle recently, and I find it very difficult to navigate, but maybe someone who can teach me how to do it a better job. I mean, I just taught myself, sort of like computers.
Yeah.
I just got one and started working it, and yeah. I don't know what I'm doing yet.
Yeah. In fact, if you went to the library and you brought your Kindle, they will actually help you, and they will actually help you get an app or connect to the app that would actually be able to get free books from the library.
There you go.
So it's pretty amazing. See how passionate I am about this subject, you know? I mean, I just love the idea of improving people's awareness of everything that's around them. And the way you can do that a lot of times is connect through the library.
And also, smart people do make better decisions and are more fun to be around.
That's probably very true.
So if you feel that you're not smart enough to hang out with the rest of us.
Read.
That's exactly it. That's the best passport to intelligence.
Well, you know, they've always said that's the biggest thing you can do for your kids. If you want them to get into the colleges they want to go to, is to read to them and then have them read to you and keep reading and reading and reading, because that'll improve their SAT scores. It'll improve their ability to be able to compete in school and be able to eventually be able to get into those and be able to succeed in very tough school.
My wife and I read to each other, but it turns out that I'm the one that has to do the reading, because if she reads, I just immediately fall asleep. It has nothing to do with her voice or her tone of voice. It's just that morning guys, you know, you get up at 3 o'clock, someone reads to you, you're gone in 30 seconds. But if you're the one reading, you at least have to stay awake for that part. So we've been through some great novels together that way.
I went to Europe this summer, and I was in Dublin. And when I was in Dublin, I went to this little what used to be a pharmacist shop, but now it's a bookstore, and it's kind of dedicated to James Joyce and all the great authors.
Oh,
and when I went there, we did a reading of James Joyce's Dubliner, sitting in this old chemist store, which was actually mentioned in one of his books.
Finnegan's Wake, probably?
No.
Or Bloomsbury. Blooms.
This guy came to McBuy's Lemony Soap.
Oh, yeah.
Every day. You know, and starts his adventures. It was quite remarkable that all these people would come in and sit, and you read a page, and then the next person read a page.
All
the different voices. It was very exciting, yeah.
Well, the good thing about books is, no matter how many you've read, there's plenty out there to discover.
Right.
And it's not one that you always meant to read, but one you never knew about. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's the discovery part.
Absolutely. Well, so one of the ways that people can keep us being able to have a great library, and one that will be totally remodeled and brought up to date, is to help us get us over the top, get us that last $60,000 that we need. And part of that is we've received a grant from the North Central Washington Community Foundation, and we are a part of their Give NCW program. And so from now to the end of the year, if you feel like giving, there's lots of different organizations. There are lots of great charities, but we are one of those sponsored charities, and you can actually do it very easily. You can go to their website, you can go to our website, and you can actually then give. You can pick out us or pick out other charities. It's just a great way to be able to give to local charities this time of year.
When you go to work at the library and you open the door and walk in, what do you see, the books or the people?
I see the people. There's all sorts of different people there during the day, and that's really the best part of the job, is when you've helped somebody, whether it's helping them find a book or answering a question that they've struggled to find the answer to. That's really gratifying, and that's why I go to work every day.
And are you pleased with the expanded duties and identity of the library, where it was once just about books, now it's about any access to knowledge?
Yeah, absolutely. It makes it that much more fun that you can think outside the box and go that extra mile, that you're encouraged to go that extra mile. You're not constrained in any way. We're there to help people, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
You're probably making plans already, but what happens when you earn the last dollar that you need? Are you going to have to shut down the library, or how will you do it?
Well, we were hoping to break ground, like, soon. But there's the library, because we're doing this project, actually went to, with the city of Wenatchee, and they've applied for some grants, and those grants don't come in until March 1st.
March 1.
And so they're committed to do this program, whether the and everything, whether they get those grants or not. But they've got some grant requests to be able to improve some lighting and improve the HVAC system, such that when you go from different places to the library, the temperature will be actually the same, which will be quite remarkable, because that's never been the way.
This is walking into weather formations as you make your way down the hall.
Yeah.
It was kind of humid.
Yeah, a little hot, a little cold. Yeah, it's especially in the swing months, like summer and December, January. It can be quite different temperature depending on where you're at in the building, whether the sun's streaming into the windows or whether you're sitting in the shade. So hopefully with this new commitment that they've made to add on. So I feel kind of good that maybe Courtney and all the friends of the library have helped us to be able to get the City of Wenatchee and the North Central Regional Library System to see all the things that can be done at our Wenatchee Library to be able to improve it, and use this opportunity where we're going to do with this major improvement to add on other things that are even better. And there's new plans in the future that if we get this done, there's possibly a STEM area in the library that could be done, a teen area that could be added. There's some new things that can be added if we just want to, and there's a need and people feel that they want to make this happen. We could add lots of other things in that space, because it's such a great space.
That's the voice of Jeffrey Near. You know him from Near Cordell Near. He used to have top billing, but I don't know what happened there. Anyway, the point that we're making is that there's an effort afoot, and it's been underway for some time to get the money, no small amount, to get the library remodeled. Tell us how to help out to put it over the top down at Pybus one more time, please.
You can come. You can come on Friday. Shop, eat, donate, if you want to. Enjoy all the things that day is going to have. So that's going to be a great thing. You can go to Give NCW, at the, Community Foundation's website and make a donation there. You could leave a check with us on Friday. We'll have a donation spot there as well. But if you give through the North Central Washington, all the money, goes directly into the charity that you give to. If you use a credit card, you know, there's credit card processing fees and other things that happen. But the North Central Regional, the North Central Community Foundation is covering all those costs.
Mm.
So the charity is actually going to get all the money. So this is a great thing, because, you know, there's generally lots of costs in fundraising. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that we're really proud about, is our fundraising costs on this capital campaign have been almost nil. We budgeted a fair amount of money for that, and really we haven't spent hardly any of the money.
Good for you. You figured it out.
We figured out a way to be able to do that. So if we really think about how much money we've raised, we're probably already over the top, because we didn't spend the $60,000 on all the other things we were going to spend. But we just keep seeing more and more needs. So we want to make sure that with people who can help us get over the top, come Friday, enjoy the Pybus. Go to the Community Foundation's website and give it to NCW. That'd be
Jeff Near and Courtney Tiffany from the library. If the library that you see today is about to be remodeled and refashioned in a brand new way worth just about $2 million, you should be very proud of the work you've done, Jeff. Good job.
I thank you for that. And really, there's a lot of great donors, a lot of people that have given a lot of money to this capital campaign, that some of which want to remain anonymous or mostly anonymous. It's just amazing when there's a need in this community, people come out and support it. It's a great thing living here in Wenatchee.
And thanks to you, Courtney Tiffany, for keeping the doors open.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
And I want to thank Jeff. He's been so instrumental in making this successful, and I know it wouldn't have happened without him. So.
Well, just remember, it's what's in the library that's so important, and that's what he loves.
That's what I love.
See you both soon. Thanks for coming by.
Yep.
Thank you.
Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
At 12:40 in the afternoon, I'm Michael Knight. The show is called The Agenda. My very special guest is Michelle McCormick from Stage Kids. In fact, we're getting ready to do another big production. Hi, Michelle. Welcome back.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
What do we have for the seasonal Christmas show, as if I didn't know?
Oh, we are doing Disney's Beauty and the Beast.
Ooh.
It's a big one.
How old is your oldest actor?
14.
So is there a 14-year-old to play the Beast? Or
13.
Someone whose voice has changed?
13. 12 and 13-year-old boys.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you double casted.
Yes, the entire show. We have 115 kids involved in this show, but two full casts.
So that's not, that's 150 total in both casts.
Correct.
Wow, that's a lot of cats to herd.
You could put it that way.
But what do you like about the show? You love the music?
Love the music. And it's based on the original animated one, not the new version that came out. Like the modern day version that
the
came
old
out.
One.
It is the original one, plus a few songs that a lot of people aren't familiar with, like Human Again. The music's fantastic, but the sets, the costumes, all that go with it, this makes this such a grand and beautiful show.
And it's a sort of a period piece, isn't it?
Everyone's it is, wearing. But it's interesting. I'll let you guys decide what period you think it's set in, because it's very obscure. Like, you really can't pick a time. And it's never really said. There's not anything in the show that really indicates. And so it's kind of fun. We just know it happens in a castle. We do know it's in France. So.
Okay, I'm saying 18th century. There you
okay.
go. Late 18th century.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Before the revolution. because there weren't any Aristocats shortly thereafter. Well, okay. I didn't have to say that. But the idea of the show is that 150 kids, that's a lot of kids. Do you have anybody who still wants to be in the show that didn't get cast?
No, we do our best to accommodate all the kids that want to be involved. That is one of the things we do with Stage Kids. We try to accommodate everybody, and anybody who wants to experience theater arts, this is the place to do it. Come experiment, try it out. We've got those kids that stick, find out this is their thing, they want to do it forever. And we've got kids that try it out, and maybe they don't want to be any more shows, but they've become theater appreciation. Like, we know they're going to participate in the theater in the future and go to theater. So that's one thing we love about Stage Kids, is that we're not trying to raise up everyone to be Broadway stars. We're just trying to help kids that want to experience it, try it out.
I'm sure kids come in and say, I want to be Robert De Niro. And then the first question they ask is, can you sing? Yeah,
uh-huh.
But can you dance? What? But you can, a lot of guys who can't sing or dance figure it out, don't they?
They do.
Yeah.
And it's actually pretty exciting. I've got some kids that started when they were just 13 and 14, so they were kind of graduating out of our program. Now they've finished high school. They're going to be going out for our big Apple Blossom show now, because they found out they loved it, and they've grown and developed their voices and their abilities to dance. So it's
yeah, that raises the question, what happens when you're 14 and you're no longer in Stage Kids? Where can you go for a decent production?
Well, thankfully, because we have such a musical theater community, our high schools offer great programs. And then Stage Kids does do a Stage Teen program every summer. So we
stage
teens. Stage teens.
These are for graduates or just an older group?
13 through 18.
Wow.
Yeah, for 13 through 18. So that, you know, they liked it. They can be in their school shows during the year. And then some of them love it so much they would love to do it in the summer as well. So we offer that opportunity.
If you have a child and this child has shown no interest whatsoever in performing on stage, don't be misled. I know what they're thinking about. How do you join Stage Kids? If you're a kid who hasn't done anything on stage ever in your life.
You jump in. Literally, I tell people there's no right way to jump into Stage Kids. We have classes during the fall and the spring. Registration begins in January for our spring classes. And some people just want to try out a class, learn a little bit about singing, dancing, acting. And then they decide they want to do more and be in a show. Others just sign up to be in a show right from the start. So there's no right way. Just come try it out.
Now, you have 150 kids doing the show, and you're double cast. Which cast is on stage? When a cast is on stage, what does the other cast do?
They are taking the night off, or they can sit in the audience. We have 8 shows. Each cast gets to perform 4 shows. And they're coming up this week, Wednesday through Sunday. And so tonight's dress rehearsal. And we are getting close. So. And it's a great opportunity for the kids to watch. A lot of times when they've only been in the show and they never get to see in the audience, they can't learn by just from being on stage. But when they get to sit in the audience as well, that's a new way of watching and learning what looks good, what doesn't.
What works.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been fun.
Well, now, what time is practice or rehearsal tonight?
For the kids?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 4 to 9.
4 to 9. Mm-hmm. So the show up at 4 o'clock. What do you do first?
The first thing, kids get mics on. We have 30 kids who have lines or solos that need microphones on.
30 microphones?
30 microphones.
God.
Yes. It's a big show, I'm telling you.
I believe you.
And then they go get their costumes on. They arrive with their makeup already done. So their makeup and hair is done. They get their costumes on. They go out, have microphone checks. We run a few little scenes maybe to clean and polish a few things. And then we start the show from the top. We work all the way through the whole show, give them a little dinner break at intermission. It's a lot of hard work. These kids rise to the occasion. I'm always so proud of them.
You still go straight through with no stops, or do you?
Yes, these dress rehearsals.
Yeah, no stops.
Yeah, last night was a start-stop kind of rehearsal for a partial cast, and then the next two nights are full dress rehearsal without stopping. They need to have that confidence. They've got it under their belt. They know it. They're ready.
Keep going. Tragedy or victory, keep going.
That's right.
The show must go on. And right now, you have to go on. So what do I say when I get out there? You'll think of something.
Hopefully, by this point, we don't have any train wrecks, and the kids have enough improv experience that they know how to kind of punt if we have any issues.
How's the music prepared so it's good for a kid to sing?
Well, we use a company out of New York called Music Theater International that creates junior shows. And when they do that, they transpose the music into the right key for the kids to sing.
Excellent.
So, yeah, it's already done for us.
Wow.
And the other thing they do is they take what might be on Broadway, a two and a half hour show, and they bring it down to an hour and a half. So our shows run 90 minutes. And so that's with that intermission. So that's more doable not only for kids to perform, but for the children in the audience.
Does Disney have junior versions of a lot of their major musicals?
They do. They do. They're working on more. And the exciting part is now it's gone international. They've realized this is a thing, right? I've been doing the Disney musicals probably for over 10 years, and they started out with one or two, Aladdin, Alice in Wonderland, a couple small, and then it's just exploded. So there's a lot to choose from now.
Do you always do musicals?
We do. We do musicals. This summer we're considering doing some straight plays, but we generally do our big seasonal shows as musicals. And not always Disney. Our goal is to expose the kids to a lot of different genres. So my hope is that we do a Disney, that we do a classic, what I would call an American classic, and then we do a new piece, something that's more modern. Like a few years ago, we did Elf, the musical. That's new. So I like to rotate that. So they get timepieces, they get Disney, as well as new modern things.
We're talking with Michelle McCormick from Stage Kids. If you want to get involved, how do they call you? How do they join up? And now that you're in the middle of a production, first maybe you should see the show and then join.
Well, just come to our website, stagekidswa.org. There's information about classes and shows and how to get tickets all right there.
Be right back after this.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
Your letter now. The AAA Travel Home for the Holidays contest, because it just don't feel like Christmas. I can't spend it with you.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
12:53, we're just about out of show. My very special guest is Michelle McCormick from Stage Kids. Beauty and the Beast is coming up, the musical that you should see. Tell us how to get tickets, Michelle.
Well, you could go to our website, stagekidswa.org, or just contact the Numerica Performing Arts Center box office. Walk in, check them out online, or you can give them a call at 663-ARTS, A-R-T-S.
And give your website one more time, please.
Stagekidswa.org.
It's the Beauty and the Beast. He turns out to be okay at the end, from what
he
I
does.
Remember. Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
Break a leg.
You're listening to The Agenda.